What's up, NBA fans? Welcome back to another episode of Full Court Press. We're going to be talking some Game 7s from the first round, a couple Game 1s from the second round, and just our previews on where things go from here. I'm joined tonight by Joel Jimenez. What's up, Joel?
What is good, Nick? Let's do this.
Indeed, sir. So, let's just jump right in. Let's start with the Celtics. The team that defies all injuries mattering at all. They were able to overcome another injury, this time to Jaylen Brown, to secure a Game 7 win at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. They move on to face Philly in the second round. But before we get into what we expect out of that series, what were your thoughts on Boston just bruised and battered, but still just being able to essentially just hold home court? Like, they didn't lose a single game in Boston. It was pretty impressive in my book. What are your thoughts?
It was. I mean, that was the word I was going to use. I was going to use the word impressive because it's like, all year is one of those teams, like, they get hurt and then you're like, oh, well, that's the end of that. They can't do this. They can't do that. But
right,
they always prove you wrong because someone is always next man up. Next man up is like the mentality in Boston. We've been saying it all year. Like, Brad Stevens probably deserves to be coach of the year for that specific reason. Because it doesn't really matter who you put on his team. He'll figure it out and he'll pull something out of them to do something good. The Bucks have been disappointing. They managed to make it a 7-game series. I'm proud of them for that. But at the very least, Boston still pulled out a win with another man down. Like you just said, Jaylen Brown went down. I don't even know when during the game, but I think he had to play like 16 minutes. So it's like they barely used him. It's probably going to be out tonight, I guess, too. It sucks for them in that regard. But you say it sucks, but somehow it still doesn't matter. This Sixers matchup, though, there might be more of an issue losing a guy or two, especially a guy like Jaylen Brown, as opposed to the Bucks, who have – or obviously missing a piece or two and a good coach. No offense to the interim coach. But this is something working against
them. No love
him,
for
you know?
Joe Prunty.
I'm not trying to hate on him. I'm just saying, you know.
There's a reason why he's an interim coach and not a head coach. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's done a fine job until now, at least.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I guess he did. I would say he did as well of a job as Jason Kidd. Like, so in that
yeah,
respect,
unfortunately.
Like, yeah, I mean that's what you ask for an interim head coach. Like, just keep us afloat, you know. And he did do that. I don't think anybody's going to be blowing up his phone for their head coaching position, even with like 10 teams needing head coaches this offseason. I don't see that one coming. But but yeah, I would give props to him. I want to also give props to Chris Middleton because he tried to make that a game, man. He was 5 of 9 from three. He had 32 points, 3 assists,
kid's
2
good.
Boards.
Like,
yeah,
he was a throw-in,
he's really
bro. A
he's
throw-in.
Really fucking good. Yeah, and he played like really really well and was by far their best player on the court in Game 7. But I have to go back to this. I was really impressed with what Jabari Parker did after we talked all that shit about him a couple weeks ago,
or a
week ago. He did, but in this game, he played no defense. And, like, I know he's not known for his defense. He only had 9 points. He was efficient. Yeah. He was 4 for 8, but he played 29 minutes. And his plus minus.
He was the bench, sadly.
Yes. But
the bench didn't do shit.
What, if you had to guess his plus minus, Joel, for that game, what would you guess?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
Minus 24. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, that's bad.
Oh, that's
Delly was second with minus 21. And he only played 8 minutes. So I guess that's actually more impressive
to
get outscored by 21 into the 8 minutes you're on the court.
In 8 minutes.
Yeah, Jason Terry got a lot of minutes. It was nice to see him out there and still playing. Like, I think he might have a couple more years left in him. I want to see all these guys go to, like, Jason Terry. Well, at least Terry has a ring from Dallas. But, like, Vince Carter, like, all these guys who got, like, one, maybe two seasons left who hadn't got a ring, like, come on, Steve Kerr, show him some love. Like, I mean, Vince Carter would be able to help your team. Joe Johnson would be able to help your team. Well, I'm glad the Rockets picked up Joe Johnson, so at least he has a shot.
Agreed.
But yeah, I do. I've always liked Jason Terry. He was our best player in Atlanta for a long spell. But yeah, ultimately, it came down to home court advantage, and I think too, them getting Marcus Smart back was huge for them in Game 5, and it basically proved to be huge for them in this one, because obviously they lost Brown. So, like, he played 32 minutes. You know, he wasn't particularly efficient. He only shot 2 of 7. He only had 5 points. But that's not why you have him out there. He had 6 assists. He had 3 steals. He had a block. And he had 5 personal fouls. So, you know, he was just, like, being scrappy and, like, causing their offense to not get the shots that they want. And, you know, it ultimately proved to be effective. And one more shout out, obviously, Scary Terry, he's like our favorite Celtic on the show now. Or at least He's my favorite Celtic. I mean, I know that Juwan, like, just has a love affair for Kyrie Irving. I think Luke's favorite might be Al Horford. He never misses a chance to bring him up. but Terry Rozier, 10 of 16, 26 points. He caught fire, and I loved the crowd being, who is Bledsoe?
Did you see him today?
No, I didn't.
He came to the arena with the Drew Bledsoe shirt on, jersey.
That's awesome. I kind of wonder too if I feel like that probably was just a slip of the tongue, like, whereas, you know, I think so. Whereas Eric Bledsoe's, it was more blatantly obvious him trying to throw shade, and you know, for what it's worth, Bledsoe outplayed him in those games in Milwaukee, but Terry Rozier was not going to be stopped in this game. He was 5 of 8 from deep. Like, every time he caught the ball, like, in that you know, corner or at the top of the wing and was open, I was like, that's in, count it. Like, and it was scary impressive from Scary Terry Rozier.
He's underrated as shit, you know.
Yes, yeah, and he's finally getting a shot to prove it. He still has a lot of room to improve because he lacks consistency. But I think that's just a benefactor of, you know, him not getting, you know, huge minutes throughout most of the season. Like, he's kind of like, depending on how you see Marcus Smart, if you see him as a point guard or a shooting guard or whatever. But, I mean, he's like their third option off the bench, really, for a point guard. And, you know, with the injury that happened and Marcus Smart already hurt, you know, and the injury that happened to Kyrie, really, really got, you know, some time to shine. I think he's a starting point guard. I mean, I could run off like 5 or 6 teams who he's better than their best point guard. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I can't disagree with that, considering he's putting up the numbers, man. I mean, he's been a sleeper for the last couple of years, but he's definitely a guy every time they brought up trades with the Celtics. So I'm like, I'll take Terry. Throw him in. I'll take him. I know a lot of people were like, well, maybe you have to do that to get this guy or get that guy. He's playing so well that you got to think twice, because he's had a lot of pressure to put on him, you know, since Kyrie went down, Marcus went down. So he just expanded his role and lived up to the hype. Now he's a fan favorite, so it's going to be tough to get him out of the area. But Boston doesn't want to lose a guy like that. You don't want to lose a guy like that. And You got to, not that he specifically, but now the Louisville guards, you got eyes on them. So you got like Terry Rozier and Donovan Mitchell coming out of Louisville. So like next year,
how cool would
it
be to see
them
on
draft,
the same team? that would be awesome.
That'd be insane. That'd be kind of unfair, actually, just considering both of them are kind of freaky good.
It would be awesome though to see like you. I'm not totally sold on Rozier yet being like a dominant point guard. I definitely wouldn't. I'm nowhere near sold on him being elite, but even dominant. I am sold on him being a starter, and I do think given the minutes and playing next to a guy like Donovan Mitchell, that would be awesome. It's going to be interesting to see what Boston does with him because he's got one more year left on his deal, and they got a lot of money, already promised to a lot of players. So I don't know, man. I think it depends on, what they have to pay to keep Marcus Smart. And if that dollar amount is right, then I think they keep him and trade Terry because you can get good value for him. I think you could get better value for him than Marcus Smart because he's got starting potential and he scores the ball. That always gets more value, you know. I love the way Marcus Smart plays, but he's not an offensive.
He's not a scorer.
Yeah, he's just not a scorer. So, I think it'll be interesting to kind of see and gauge how that all plays out because, he can help a lot of teams and a lot of teams, there's a lot of those floundering teams that have. An extra pick here or there, like Phoenix, I could totally see Phoenix we'll give you, the Miami pick, which is number 16, and we'll give you a future number one pick, lottery protected, or maybe the Milwaukee pick, or they have another Heat's pick in 2021. I could definitely see something like that. If you can get two first rounders for Terry, I think you'd have to take it, even despite how good he is, just because your payroll is so high, and that's two quality first rounders, not super late first rounders either. So, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Terry Rozier, and it'll be interesting to see. If he does get the opportunity to be a starter, how that translates. I would expect that he won't be one of those Boston guys who does well in Boston and then goes somewhere else and then doesn't really, live up to it. Before we move on, just your thoughts on Sixers and Boston, all right, general thoughts, or if you have a prediction for, who's going to win and how many games?
I figure Philly in six, I guess. That's kind of where I'm leaning towards at the moment. Philly in six. I think they're just going to overpower them. Unfortunately for Boston, they've made it this far, man down or two, three. But Philly's just, they're just too deep right now. And they're on a roll. I mean, they've been off for a while now, but they're just between Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and the shooters everywhere on the floor between J.J. Redick, Covington, Arlisova, Ben Bellinelli off the bench. They got players everywhere, so they're set up to go deep in this playoff run. I mean, to go deep in this playoffs, and I just think they're just gonna get overpowered at the end of the day. But Boston's gonna give them a hell of a fight. That's why I got them going six.
Yeah, I actually agree. That's exactly how I have it. I think Philly manages to get one game in Boston, and I think it'll probably either be, it might be game one, but I could definitely see them hitting a stride. I could see them losing even the first two games, and then just rolling off a sweep once they go home and play two. and then they go back to Boston, I could definitely see them like basically just pulling that one out and then going home up 3-2, you know, with a game six in their house. I definitely think that is Philly's best scenario because you don't want to go to game seven in Boston. But yeah, I just think they'll get one of those games, one of those three games against Boston on their home court. Because like you said, they're too good. All those shooters, and their defense is really good. And like,
yeah,
like Covington, man,
so
like that guy can guard anybody. Like he's so good. He's 6'9". He's got a huge wingspan, mm-hmm. but he's also like quick. He's like super quick on his feet. So he
yep.
like there were a lot of stretches of the Miami series where he was straight up guarding Goran Dragic for like the majority of the game. So
right.
like he can guard point guards and he's got the length to guard like small ball centers anyway. And you know, it's not like Boston is gonna be throwing out any sort of elite huge center. I mean, they're probably gonna play
for sure.
Horford the majority of the minutes there. So like yeah, he's like what a find. Like everybody gives Sam Hinkie all the credit for, you know, the like trust the process and Simmons and Embiid.
Right.
But like part of that whole process before they even like got Simmons and before Embiid ever played a game, they just recognized
yep.
this like really talented G League player, D League at the time.
Yep.
And we're like, yeah, let's take a flyer on him. And they did it with several players from the D League and
did.
he was the one that stuck.
Too.
Yeah, like
he
TJ
did.
McConnell, he's another one. Rashawn Holmes, he's another one. But obviously
yep.
Covington is the guy that was the guy that they really needed and that they were really looking for. And he's just
stuck
such
as a starter.
Yes.
Because
he
I
did.
Thought he was
and
gonna
think,
at the beginning of the year I thought he was gonna come off the bench and he played so well he stayed in the starting lineup. So gotta give him
yeah.
credit for that.
Well he's just so versatile. Like I feel like if they do get LeBron James, I feel like he'll still be a
mm-hmm.
starter. They'll just start him at the shooting guard. Cause I mean, he's a 3-and-D guy. Like he can play shooting guard. Like he's not maybe the most ideal, but then again, like I said, he guards point guards already. So it's
right.
not, you know, it's in positionless basketball. I don't think he would have any problem, playing the shooting guard position. But yeah, So I'm right there with you. Philly and six, too much talent. Just Boston's. It's awesome that they were able to get out of the first round, but they're just
yep.
not going to be able to do it on this one. I will say this: I do think Boston might have a chance to get game one though, to like start it off, like and get Philly down. But like I said, regardless. Philly will win at least one of those games in Boston and close it out in six, if not sooner. I could honestly see them closing it out in
yep.
five. Or I hesitate to say they could sweep them, but I mean they have the talent. Like they're young,
yeah.
but they have the talent to do it. So
they do.
But you just have to think Brad Stevens is probably good enough to get you two games,
right.
Especially
like
when you know
you got to give them one.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But let's move on. We got the Pacers and the Cavs game seven. That was a fun fucking game. I was like so into it. I was like analyzing all of the coaching that was going on. I got a lot to say about this one. So let me just vent
no,
and rant for a little bit.
Yeah, do it.
So several things about this game. Number one, Ty Lue, like he made such a great coaching decision to put in Tristan Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see that coming. Obviously Indy didn't see that coming and they never adjusted
Tristan didn't
to
see
it.
It coming.
Yeah, right.
it was
really intriguing because for like long periods of that game, you had the five players that they have left that they have had, you know, on this team for, you know, pretty much forever. Like
mm-hmm.
you had LeBron, you had JR, you had Korver, you had Love, and then you had Tristan. And it was really interesting to see them kind of run that lineup and just give put the ball in LeBron's hands and just let him be point guard.
He ran point guard, super effective.
Yeah, and like, and man, like Indy's like inability to switch defense and like, and the fact that they just refused to double team LeBron until the second half, that cost them big time. And like, there's you cannot have DeMontis Sabonis trying to guard LeBron James out on the wing. It's just,
like
it's going to end badly for you. and then to counter that. When they kind of maybe started figuring it out, you know, when they put Lance Stephenson in there, LeBron was like, all right, now I'm going to post this guy. I'm just going to go down to the post. I'm going to back him down because he's not strong enough to stop me. That's the situation where you want DeMontis Sabonis guarding him. I think Sabonis was so severely underused in this game. I didn't think Miles Turner should have played very many minutes. He could not rebound at all against Tristan Thompson, and Sabonis is just bigger and stronger. So, like, basically, you know, what I'm getting at is Ty Lue outcoached Nate McMillan, just plain and simple. Everybody's like, oh, Ty Lue, he's not a good coach. Like, he's not even a real coach. LeBron's the coach. But, like, I gotta give him his props because he totally outcoached Nate McMillan, who just never made the right adjustments. And then, you know, to follow up with the Sabonis thing, when they go into the second half, they, again, did not play Sabonis. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, why would you not make that adjustment? I just don't understand it. It baffled me that they ended up basically splitting minutes between the two of them. And honestly, the only reason that Sabonis came in later was because Turner fouled out. So,
right.
Like, I don't even know that they would have played in that many minutes. And for, like, two different games in the series, Sabonis has been your best player. So, yeah, that was just baffling to me. But props to LeBron. He, I think, made his first, like, 7 shots or 9 shots or something like that. It was ridiculous. It gave me like flashbacks of the game 7 against Detroit when he just took over that fourth quarter, because it was just so damn impressive. He actually, like, after going 15 of 15 from the free throw line in game 5, he only went 11 of 15, but it proved that they didn't need it. And just one more thing before I pass it to you. A lot of people have been saying, like, blaming the refs. LeBron gets all the calls. Indy doesn't get jack shit. Like, okay, first of all, yeah, LeBron gets more calls. Like, it's always worked that way. If you think, like, Jordan didn't push off on Byron Russell, like, you're a blind Bulls fan. Like, he totally pushed off, but no ref is going to make that call. Like, it's just not going to happen. You're not going to make that call against Michael Jordan. So LeBron gets that same kind of respect. You know, he gets the benefit of the doubt. Now, there were two calls in particular where LeBron on one and J.R. Smith on the other flopped. The LeBron one, Bogdanovich gave him a little bump, and he just, like, dove on the court. And I was like, damn it, LeBron. Like, you fucking flopped again, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
And then J.R. Smith, J.R. Smith was just being boxed out completely by Miles Turner and just kind of flailed backwards, and they called it. So, like, those upset me. I thought those were bad calls. But then, you know, at the end of the game, they had an obvious play where Victor Oladipo, like, drained a bucket, but he didn't get the shot off. He didn't get the shot off before the 24-second clock ran out, and they didn't call that. So, like, I think, yes, LeBron got more calls, but a superstar is going to get more calls. Whoever's a home team in Game 7 is usually going to get, like, the calls are going to tend to lean their way. It wasn't egregious. Like, stop it with the refs thing. Like, it's just so annoying. Like, I was rooting hard for Indiana too. Like, but you can't always just say, oh, the fucking refs. Like, it's a shame the Pacers had to play LeBron and the refs. Like, God, drives me crazy.
Yeah,
but anyway,
they got seven games in, man. Yeah. I don't want to hear it.
Yes, exactly. One more thing before I pass it to you. You got outscored when LeBron was on the bench by 6 points, Indiana. You lost the game by 4. I don't want to hear any shit about the fucking refs. Like, you can't
That's
get
right.
outscored by 6 points when LeBron is on the bench. So, like, to me, that's, like, the most important one. But anyway, your thoughts on this this Game 7, just in general.
Right. So this was not a shocking – because the last game was an ass-whooping, right? So it was like,
yeah,
what happened there? And then it jumped into, like, oh, can they survive? That's all it was, can they survive? And you knew LeBron was going to come to play because it was an elimination game. He wasn't going to just sit down and, like, let it happen. So he did. He came to play, put up 45, 8, and 7 or whatever the fuck it was. And it's like, I got to give, like you said, Ty Lue credit for, like, switching it up and putting interest in Thompson. Because we've been talking, I mean, at least I was. I was like, where the fuck is he at? Where is he at? This guy was a key part of this team for the last couple of years. And all of a sudden, the whole thing with the Kardashians and, like, the curse. And that's it. He didn't play anymore. He lost his powers. They're like, what happened to Tristan Thompson? He was that gritty rebounding center for them.
And he's, like, been hurt all year. It's weird.
Exactly. He just couldn't get over whatever hump he was under. And Ty Lue just, I guess, got fed up and just stopped playing him. And he said, you know what? We need to switch it up. And look, it worked because Indiana had no answer for it because they were completely shocked by the idea of him playing. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
And the fact that Tristan Thompson not just came back, played, he put up 15 and 10. And he gave you he was a force in the middle. They had no answer for Tristan Thompson because they just they weren't strong enough because they're bigger than him because Tristan's not super big or anything. But they're not as physical. Like, Miles Turner and Sabonis are just not as physical as Tristan Thompson. And Kevin Love was in his more natural position outside, playing the stretch four.
Mm-hmm.
Korver was cold. You know, if Korver was on, this probably would have been a complete ass of him, but Korver was cold. J.R. Smith played well. George Hill played better off the bench. Maybe that's where he belongs to be. Because if George Hill's going to play like that, might as well bring him off the bench, you know, because he's not doing shit as a starter.
Well,
and
to your point there, he was quintessential in keeping them alive when LeBron was on the bench. Like, his little pick and pop game with Kevin Love was like, I was like, damn, like, Indy can't stop this because Kevin Love is making shots, and it was impressive.
I totally, because George Hill got like 11 points and most of them from the free throw line, so they were like hacking him or whatever the fuck was going on, because he only made like one shot. He was like 1 for 3 or whatever the fuck it was. So but, like, you got to put out APB for, like, guys like Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson. Like, what happened? Like, where were they through this game? They brought him in to do something. You know they could score. I mean, I remember at one point this year, I was like, Rodney Hood might be sixth man of the year, like on the list. And, like, I don't know what happened to Rodney Hood. Jordan Clarkson, too, was a sixth man candidate at one point. So it's like,
yeah.
You know they can score, so I don't even know what's wrong. Like, maybe the chemistry, or I don't know. That's why the Cleveland Cavaliers are a scary team, because these guys, if they eventually figure it out, can put up buckets. You know, Larry Nance is another fun guy to have around. So that's Cleveland's side. On the Indiana side, obviously Victor came to play. He didn't just fall asleep at the wheel.
No.
Thaddeus Long did his thing. Bogdanovich was completely cold. And this man has been responsible for keeping Indiana alive for a lot of the series. But he went 1 for 9 from the field. That, you can't do that if you plan on taking out Cleveland when you'll lose by 4. The bench didn't really bring it.
And there were bad shots, too.
They were.
He wasn't missing good shots. They were like, it was, you know, like him pump faking and just trying to shoot a contested 3. Like, I saw him brick like 3 or 4 of those. And I was just like, man, this is just a bad shot.
Yeah, and I mean the free throw line too, because if you look at the free throw disparity, like 31 free throws made for Cleveland compared to like 19 made for Indiana. And that, it came down to 4 points. You got to make your fucking free throws. I'm just going to tell you right there. And it wasn't a terrible percentage, but they didn't someone's not good. Cleveland gonna get the calls at home. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So you gotta beat them in other places, and they got out LeBron. They had that's the difference between who had LeBron and who didn't. That's what it is. Sadly for Indiana.
Yep, and it was pretty much the reason why I even despite like me like loving Indiana and like thinking, you know, maybe they had a chance. That's why I still felt like in my gut. They did, but it's why I still felt in my gut. Like I was like, LeBron's not going to lose this series. He's just not going to do it. Like, and that's what it came down to. Cause like you said, I mean, it was LeBron's series. He like never had a game. What was the stat? He's never won a playoff series in which no other player in that whole series scored 20 points. This is the first time that's ever happened. Nobody scored 20 points in a single game, and LeBron James still managed to win a seven-game series. And you know why? Because he was putting up gaudy 45-point games on the regular. And, that's the thing, man. Like, I was rooting for Indy. I've been on that bandwagon all year. I got a lot of respect for him. They overperformed even, you know, what I thought they were capable of. But you can't bet against LeBron. So with that being said, are you going to bet against LeBron against the Raptors, Joel?
I think I am because they struggled against Indiana. And Toronto is not Indiana. They got a deeper bench. And you can't get away with that bullshit with the bench mob. So I'll tell you right now, I don't think it's going to be an easy series for in Toronto by any stretch. I think this is their year to possibly make that leap. Because I just didn't like a lot of what I saw from Cleveland in this series, even though they managed to get past. And it is LeBron. So never say never. As long as you have LeBron, you have a chance to win a series.
Very true.
Never say never. And as we know, LeBron has been Toronto's kryptonite. So it's very, very possible that this is not going to work out in Toronto's favor. But I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I want to say it's hopefully this year they can get past the LeBron hump. But we'll
see. Think it takes seven?
I think it might, unfortunately, for Toronto. If it's not seven, it's because Toronto did their job. Because that they should win.
Yeah.
They're a better team.
Yeah, I mean, they are the better team, but Indy was the better team, and it's like, it's the same.
Arguably,
the same. Yeah, I mean, I don't even feel like it's arguable. I feel like they definitely were the better team in that series. Like you said, it's just one team had LeBron and the other one didn't.
Well, you have two stars in Toronto compared to in Indiana, where it really was just Oladipo showing
his
role player.
It was Oladipo and whichever player they could get to show up any particular night.
Yeah.
You know, because
like
you would have one night
Donovan
where Bogdanovich played,
blah, blah, blah.
or Sabonis played really well.
Exactly.
But yeah, like you weren't getting consistency out of them. And Kevin Love just kind of fucking disappeared throughout most of this series. Now, here's the thing, though. I have like two questions. Do you think they keep Tristan Thompson, or do you think this is just like Ty Lue trying to find a matchup problem? Would you keep him in the starting lineup? Because I think I would. I think I would keep him in the starting lineup against Valanciunas, who's not really a floor spacer. Like he can make a three on occasion. But you're not really asking. You're not really asking Tristan to, and Tristan's gonna tear his ass up on the rebounds, at least hypothetically speaking.
Right.
I would expect him to. So do you think the same thing? Do you think he's now a starter again?
I think he has to. I think he earned it. I think he deserves it. I think that lineup worked out so well that you have to say we have to give it another try. Because I swear to God, anybody in Cleveland gets hot, like Clarkson, Hood, Korver, they have a chance to win any of these games. It's just a matter of this. Something's not. Maybe it's chemistry.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's just they have the talent. They really do. I know they're not as good as we thought they were going to be as soon as that, like right after the trade or whatever. Cleveland can get through it. You know, they have the guys to do it. I just think right now, because Toronto chemistry is not an issue. We know
right.
the bench from I was good. We know the starters have played together for a while. They can play small.
Mm-hmm.
They can play big. It's just a matter of can they not focus on isolating during late games, like during close games. Because if it comes down
yeah.
to LeBron and it comes down to DeRozan and Lowry, LeBron's going to win that. You can't do it. It can't come down to that. You have to beat them early. You got to take them out early.
Yeah. Yeah, the only ISO player in the league that's potentially better than LeBron is James Harden. He's had a better season, and I still don't even know if I'm ready to give him that moniker, like best ISO player. Like, I think I am, but there's still a part of me that's like, well, I don't know, man. LeBron pretty much, like, he runs ISO.
Monster.
Like, yeah, I mean, that game, he was just, the whole series, but particularly Game 7, he was just like, just dribble, 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 and I was like, he's going to shoot a three. Shoot! And I was like, that three's going to go in. Swoosh.
Yeah.
it was like,
I mean,
clockwork
that,
so many times.
LeBron is so good. That series should not have been 7 games against Indiana.
No, shouldn't have.
But that's why I believe.
But the rest
LeBron
of his team played so bad. Like, that's the
I
thing.
Know.
Like,
but they have been all year. They've shitty.
Yeah.
Some games are good. Some games are not. They're not consistent. They're not
yeah.
consistent. So that's why I think this is the – if Toronto's going to beat Cleveland, this is the year to do it. Because they're not going to do it again after. This is their window. They missed this
yeah.
window. They're kind of fucked. Unless LeBron leaves the East, of course.
Yeah, but even still, like, I mean, you got Boston getting healthy.
Yep.
And you got
Boston,
Philly. On,
this
Philly
is the window,
on the come
man.
Up. Like, this is your season. This is your season to make it to the finals. This is probably
exactly.
your only shot.
I agree with you.
And
I
I'll say this. It's their only shot unless, you know, they made, like, some kind of trade. By the
yeah,
way,
yeah, of course.
I thought about in my ever, you know, wondering who's going where in the off season. I worked out
yeah.
a trade to send LeBron to Toronto. I know.
Oh,
I mean,
Lord.
We know it's not going to happen, but still, no. Listen, like if you had Lowry, DeRozan, CJ Miles, LeBron, and you had Serge Ibaka playing the five, like everybody can shoot. DeMar DeRozan's probably your worst three-point shooter, and, like, he got a lot better this season. And, you know, those guys play well enough off ball. I mean, I don't know. I think it on paper, it makes
work.
A lot of sense to me. I don't think there's any chance. Yeah, I don't think there's any chance. Hey, but, like, you never know, man. Like, I bet they got better schools in Canada, although I'm sure his kids
yeah.
are in private school, so. I don't think that's an issue with LeBron. I agree with you. I think you do have to start Tristan. My other question, and you may have already answered this, do you think they should play LeBron at the point and go with this lineup that they went with, or do you think, you know, after George Hill had kind of a promising game, if his back spasms don't kind of rear their head, do you think you plug him in as your de facto point guard to essentially for defensive purposes more than anything? Because if you go with LeBron at the point, that probably means you got Kyle Korver trying to guard either Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan.
And that kind of scares me a little bit.
That's I guess that would be the case. It depends, because who starts, or is it Anunoby? Does he start?
Yeah, OG Anunoby.
Yeah, then you can have
so maybe
LeBron,
you could put
Korver
on him.
And, that's what I mean. You can have LeBron and JR guard the guards and have Korver guard Anunoby. But if in worst case. But yeah, I think they should. I say go for it. It's working out. Play LeBron at point. Play Tristan at center. And have your shooters out there. You have JR, you have Korver, and you have Kevin Love. Those are really good shooters at the end of the day.
Yeah.
As long as, you know, JR is not having a cold streak night, those guys
right.
are deadly. You don't want them out there. And of course, you have LeBron, and you have now a gritty rebounding presence in the paint, you know, whereas
yeah.
you kind of Kevin Love's not exactly that present. He's good, but he's not I don't want to say he's not tough, but he's just not that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not coming up and getting that like block that Tristan Thompson had either. I can't remember when it was, but you know what I'm talking about, where he just came out of nowhere
blocked
dude's shot and was just, he knew it before he even jumped. He was like that look on his face, and like he swatted it. It was just like, rah.
It was Collison's shot.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. I think it was Collison. Well, it was either Collison or Joseph. It was one of the two-point guards. Yeah, but I think you're right. I think it was Collison. And, yeah, dude, it was Collison, because I remember being like, man, that was such a lazy drive, Collison. Like, because he shook his man and then just kind of lollygagged to the bucket and just kind of threw it up there. And Tristan was like, uh-oh, not today, motherfucker. But I kind of go back and forth. I think maybe you should play LeBron at the point. I might go with George Hill. But whatever they do, it's this whole tinkering with lineups thing. They need to settle into a lineup, and they got to find one that works. So, you know, like if you feel like, I feel like you got to go one way or the other here. Like, I mean, obviously there's minor tweaks, there's minor adjustments. But they've had way too many different lineups, and playing LeBron at the point kind of seems like it works.
At least
offensively. So, I think that might be the way to go. And like you said, if you can hide Korver on Anunoby, or really even CJ Miles for that matter, even if they try to plug and play him,
right?
You know, or if they go with one of their three guard lineups. With Van Vliet, like you could play Korver on him. That would be kind of the scariest matchup. But I just don't want Korver having a guard, DeMar, or even Kyle Lowry.
DeMar or Kyle, right? Yeah, you don't want either of the guards. Don't let them sit.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
All right. Well, all that being said, I'm taking LeBron in six because same thing with the Pacers, man. Like Pacers have never been able to beat LeBron. Raptors, never been able to beat LeBron. Like, I ain't going against history. I'm just going to say it. I think they win it in six. They win it in game six at home. And that's a wrap. That's all she wrote. And, you know, LeBron's going to be back in the Eastern Conference Finals and say, oh, y'all motherfuckers doubted me. And, you know, if that happens, like, who knows? If it's Philly, that would be a really interesting series. Because, I mean, I think Philly definitely has the talent on paper, but you just never know with a young team, like, what you're going to get. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. It's going to be I think it's going to be a really fun series to see, you know, how excited and empowered the Raptors feel, knowing this is the best team they've ever had, and this is LeBron's, like, worst team, probably. Probably the worst team he's at least since he was an established star. Like I'm sure the first season in Cleveland was a terrible team. I'm sure, but
weirdly enough, they're probably the least experienced in the playoff team that he's ever had. You know, aside from maybe some of the starters, but that's what it is. I think what it comes down to.
Yeah,
the
starters
the
and like George Hill and Korver. Like, but yeah, like I mean, you know. Hood's got a little bit of playoff experience.
A little bit.
But not a lot. Clarkson has none. Nance has none.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeff Green.
I mean, he played for OKC, so I'm sure. But, like, he was never, like, really a part of – he never really was asked to do much.
The playoff
by the way,
run. They already traded him.
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember.
I forget.
It has been a while. I definitely want to see him play less minutes. Because he's like, I get that JR can be inconsistent, but like, I think JR has kind of earned his role.
He can defend,
and like
too.
Jeff, Yeah, he defends, and Jeff Green kind of. I mean, he played Oladipo well when they put him on Oladipo. He didn't stop him, but he contested some shots and made life a little more difficult for him. And maybe that's
starter.
The difference.
They had him as
game,
a starter out there.
Yeah, I say max like 20 minutes, and I would probably even say more like 15.
Role player.
Right. Yeah, I just feel like you got better players out there who
at best.
on that squad. Or at least
right.
you got players who have more potential, you know? Like,
right.
I don't understand why they don't play Jordan Clarkson at all. I mean, I know he's kind of struggled, but, like, his role is to score. And, like, you know, like if LeBron's not on the court, you would expect that they would play him, and they just still haven't. I guess maybe the transition is just kind of tough for him. I would say this, too. I think the Cavs should probably take a play out of Toronto's book and like have a starting unit and like a bench unit, and that might help Jordan Clarkson because he's used to having like a system, and like when you play with LeBron you don't really have a system, and the starters are used to it but he's not really used to it, and I think it kind of fucks with his game a little bit. But anyway, let's move on. We got a couple more topics. The Golden State Warriors came out and dominated game one against the New Orleans Pelicans and reminded everyone why they're defending champs. this game made me so fucking mad. I was so mad. Like the Indy game, I was upset. Like I was like, oh man, like good effort Pacers. Like, you know, I wish you guys could have pulled it out. But this game just pissed me off because everybody, like, we were all surprised that the Pelicans were able to sweep the Blazers, and we were like, you know, maybe they kind of match up well with them, and, like, you know, AD's going to be impossible to stop, and Mirotić is going to be, like, just draining threes, and, you know, like, they got such a good defensive backcourt, no Steph Curry, none of it fucking mattered. Like, they
nope.
just, they were... I mean, the game was over after the second quarter. They were outscored by 20 points in the second quarter. Going into halftime, it was a 21-point game. And I think I can't remember if it was the first, second, or third quarter. I think he did it in two quarters. But each one more made, like, two buzzer beaters that were, like, fucking miraculous. I think that one was at the end of halftime. The first one, the, like, full-length court shot almost. But it didn't matter, man. Like, and that's the crazy thing. Each one more played really well. He was definitely their most efficient player. He shot 7 of 11. He was making, like, backdoor cuts and all kinds of shit. He looked very impressive. He had 15 points.
Right.
Made the only three-pointer he took. But Drew Holiday couldn't do shit. Rondo, like, created looks for these guys, and he had 11 assists and only
right.
two turnovers, which that's like what you expect from Rondo. But like Anthony Davis, 9 of 20 is not bad. 21 points though. Like your team has to get more than that. And Mirotić, 3 of 9, 9 points, didn't really do shit. I don't know why they have him guarding Kevin Durant. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. He's one of your three best offensive players. Why exhaust him on Kevin Durant? I think they should either just play, if they want to start each one more, play more on Kevin Durant and just let him get his shots. You can pull in Solomon Hill, who's a little bit bigger. Or you can even pull in Darius Miller, who's a little bit bigger, to guard Kevin Durant. Somebody who you're not expecting to be like your team's offense, because you don't want to exhaust that effort. I think Juwan brought this point up last week and basically said, you know, I wouldn't have Anthony Davis guard him because I want all of his energy. Like Kevin Durant's going to get his, but maybe you can stop everybody else. And I was like, yeah, I mean, he explained it, you know, more, but I mean, that was the basis of his argument. And they definitely did not do that. And I seriously found myself being like, after watching that game, and it's a total overreaction, but I still felt it. I was just like, man, they're going to win it again. Why are we even fucking playing? Like, they're going to fucking win it again. Because, like, I didn't really even watch the Spurs games because they just, like, we all knew Golden State was going to win.
Right.
And so, I mean, I watched game one and a little bit of hit or miss on the rest of the games. But I really didn't care. It was probably the least important series for me anyway in round one. But this one I was really excited to watch. And, like I said, Warriors just straight went out and reminded everybody, like, y'all don't sleep on us. Like, y'all are already, like, trying to fucking say the Rockets are the best team in the West and, like, all this other shit. It definitely made me be like, Golden State's going to win it all, and it's probably not going to be competitive. So it's sad. It made me upset. It made me, like, I was mad. I was depressed. I was like, man, these motherfuckers, and they're about to get Steph Curry back. Anyway, your thoughts, Joel?
Yeah, no, it was super disappointing. I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't 100% sold that they'd win the game even without Steph Curry.
Right.
But I was definitely not expecting an ass whooping. I thought it'd be way closer than that, considering how well they played against Portland. I thought their confidence alone would keep them in the game longer. But
yep.
Golden State just shot that shit out of the sky. Like, nah, no
yep.
confidence here. You don't need none of that. So back to the drawing board for New Orleans to see if they could figure out something else. Because at the end of the day, I think they do have some pieces that they showed worked against Portland, but this is not the same type of competition. This is not
right.
Portland. This is not
yep.
let's lock down Dame Lillard and you're good. You still have three other guys, well, two. And if Steph comes back, then obviously three other guys. You got to worry about out on those four.
Yep.
I mean, and then you got the bench that can shoot the shit out of the ball. So this is a deeper team. This is a more experienced team. This is a team that can play big or small. This team went small, and they went
yep.
with fucking
like
they
game,
obviously
really.
Iguodala. Yeah, they play Iguodala point. They're small but long and big at the same time. It's
yeah.
the weirdest fucking lineup: Iguodala, Thompson, Green, Durant, and fucking Nick Young. So they went out deadly, and New Orleans just had no answer for what they were trying to do. I think what they were trying to see is if Anthony Davis can maybe possibly slow down Kevin Durant, and obviously they gambled wrong. And maybe this time they'll realize, you know what, let's just take him off there, throw Solomon Hill out there, earn your paycheck, go fucking defend Kevin Durant, and hopefully you can at least try to slow him down and let Anthony Davis, you know, do his on the offensive side and just protect the paint, you know what I mean? Because Draymond Green had triple doubles, and
like 8 minutes left in the third quarter, he had a triple double.
Right, so it's like frustrating. I understand. I totally get it. I want to see New Orleans put up a better fight, and I think they will. They'll pull out something, but it probably won't be until they get to New Orleans that they figure it out. But
yeah.
Hopefully. They might get a game, but looking at the way it's been going, it'll probably just be Golden State in five. But we'll see.
Yeah, I don't want to overreact because it is only game one.
Me neither. I hope I'm wrong.
But yeah, me too. Like I'm cautiously optimistic because I do
right.
think there is a path to success for them as long as they don't have Steph. Or as long as Steph is not 100%. And
right.
I think they'll probably rest Steph again in game two after having such a decisive game one victory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they want to rush him back. So I think it'll be a very similar situation to how Philly treated Embiid. And, you know, Philly got the game one win against the Heat. They lost game two, and then Joel Embiid was back for game three. I think that's probably what – I think they will rest Curry because he's obviously so important. And maybe they can get one of these games. But then if they do get the game, then you got to deal with Steph Curry coming back in game three. And that is pretty scary. Obviously, we all know what Steph Curry can do. But I still think they have a really – the Pelicans have a really good defensive backcourt. And, like, nobody's going to, you know, stop Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. But, you know, they in theory could match up against them. And, by the way, Klay Thompson just – dude, he went off. He had the most points on their team. He outscored Durant by 1 point. He had 27 points. He had 6 boards. He had 2 assists, 2 blocks, 4 of 9 from 3. Dude, he was just so clutch. You cannot allow Klay Thompson to be that successful.
He's a freak, too.
Like, that's the thing. Like, yeah, but that's the thing. You've got to shut down Klay. You've got to not – well, I won't say shut down, but you got to contain Klay. You got to contain Draymond.
Right.
And you got to make Kevin Durant beat you. Like, that's your only path to success to get a win in game two, in my opinion.
I don't disagree.
And then when Steph comes back, it's not going to matter what you do. Like, I mean, in theory, like Rondo and Holiday could maybe check Steph and Klay. But again, like, I think it too just goes back to what we were talking about earlier with LeBron and ISO ball, and how the Raptors better not revert to ISO ball. Like, the Blazers did. They reverted to ISO ball, and they got their asses kicked. So, like, the Warriors just don't do that. So it's not, like, even though Rondo and Holiday are, like, solid defenders, and we saw them, you know, saw them be that in that first series, it's a whole different animal when you got a team like Golden State that just whips the ball around. It makes it so much harder to defend. So, yeah, I think one game is about all I could give them if they win game two, because when Steph comes back, they're not going to win another game. This is not going to happen. And it's sad. It's very disappointing.
How much
better Golden State is than everybody else in the league. But we have hope. We do have the Houston Rockets, and they played the Jazz to kick off the first round. The second round. I said Houston had a really good shot at beating the Warriors, and I picked them to win the West, probably more than anything, just because I so don't want to fucking see the Warriors. Like, I want them to lose, like, so bad.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I know you do, but you're more pragmatic in your approach. Like, you're like, I don't want to see it, but it's probably going to happen. Whereas I'm like, I don't want to see
right.
it, damn it. Like, it's not going to happen. If you will it, it is no dream. But Houston came out and played really well against Utah, a team that like has just been great this year. Props, Joel. And by the way,
happy.
Like your sleeper pick made it to the second round. My sleeper pick did not. So you are the sleeper pick winner of the year. it's like props, dude. I don't know anybody that had the Jazz making the playoffs, much less making the second round. But
pushing it. Willed it to existence, Nick. I willed it to existence.
Nice. But they did run up. They played very well against OKC. They played team basketball. But they ran up against Houston. And unfortunately for them, you know, they don't have Ricky Rubio. And from what I heard, he's going to be out like 10 days. Like, that's pretty much the series.
Pretty much. Like, they got to find a win if they're going to stay alive.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting that they started Royce O'Neal.
They like him.
Yeah, they do. They do. And, you know, I mean, he's a he's not a bad player. I mean, he's earned his spot on that team, but he was ineffective. He only scored 4 points. Now he had 4 assists. He had 4 steals. Three rebounds. But he's not giving you what you need. I totally trust Donovan Mitchell to run the point. I don't feel like you have to have Rubio. But I do feel like I feel like next game I probably just want to see Jay Crowder. Just play him at the three, move Ingles to the two, and go run with Favors and Gobert. Crowder's the next best player on your team. You just need to play him. He can play the three. He played the three in Boston. Like he can totally guard Trevor Ariza.
Crowder.
Yeah, like
Crowder can play even the four if you're gonna play small.
No, I know, but I'm saying because you don't really have that option. Like you need him to play the three because you're down a guard, so you slide Ingles to the two and then. Yeah, and then play him at the three. I think this season he's mainly played four for both Utah and Cleveland, but he can play the three, is my point. And I think they played him big minutes. They played him 33 minutes, and he was very effective. He was probably the best player in the game. Donovan scored the same amount of points, but he took 9 more shots. He was 1 of 7 from three. Crowder was 5 of 7 from three. Donovan was 3 of 6 from free throw. Like you need to make your free throws. He was 2 of 2. My bad. That was Gobert. Which makes sense. Gobert would be 3 of 6 from free throw. But nevertheless, Crowder was just slightly more efficient. I kind of feel the same way about this series that I do about with the Pelicans. Like, just not going to be a very fun series. Utah might get one. I think if they do, they'll get it at home. I don't expect them to win game 2.
The disparity is obvious now with, Houston and Utah and Golden State and New Orleans and it might not work to our benefit, because you're seeing it. There's definitely a disparity in the teams, and it's just a date with destiny between Houston and Golden State in the Western Finals.
Yep, absolutely. And you know what? I mean, we all figured that's what it would be going into these playoffs, and I'm totally fine with it. I just want to see a little, a little competition.
I get it. Trust me, I get
it. And it's weird that, we've always talked about how, the East is not competitive. It's LeBron. LeBron has the easiest road to the finals. Not this year.
No.
The East.
There's a chance he might not make it.
Competitive.
There's a chance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Philly has looked good. They're actually down by 8 points. I told you, I think Boston could get game one. The Jazz especially without Rubio, they just don't have the talent. So we're gonna see Houston and Golden State. Where are you on that? You think how much of a shot do you give Houston against Golden State? Would you say it's close to 50-50, or do you lean more heavily towards Golden State? Considerably.
I want to say it's closer to 50-50. I think Houston has a legit chance to push Golden State to the brink, if not take them out. I think they match up well with them. They played them well in the regular season. I think they just have the right pieces to compete with them. I think at the end of the day, if the one thing that's going to be Houston's downfall is just they're going to be overwhelmed with the talent disparity. It's just going to come down to you got Steph, you got Durant, you got Draymond and Clay, and if they can't figure out a way to stop at least one of those guys, they're not going to have a chance. But they have shown that they can, and they have a shooter's chance. They have shooters everywhere, and they haven't even played their best basketball in this playoff, honestly. Houston hasn't even looked great. They've just been winning, but they haven't looked great yet. And if they
did for one quarter, the third quarter.
They
scored 50 points.
They did.
But they haven't done it throughout a game.
Consistently, they have not yet shown that they can – in the playoffs, you know, they haven't shown it yet.
Right.
But Houston's a scary team. If I'm Golden State, I'd definitely be wary of this team. Obviously, don't look past Utah yet, but I'm saying Houston's coming for you. And they got the guys to do it. And Bam Mute just came back, so he's healthy now.
Yes,
so he's out there.
He did. He played 21 minutes in that game.
He did, and they play small. You know, PJ Tucker's out there playing power forward, looking like Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
And shit, so they're out there. They're doing it. So we'll see, man. I think obviously Golden State's the favorite. It's always gonna be the favorite until they get knocked out, just like LeBron is the favorite, no matter what. But this, if there's a chance Golden State goes down, it's gonna be the Houston. And the same thing in the East with this year with Cleveland. I think if there's a chance LeBron's going to go out, it's going to be this year because the talent in the East is a little better, whether it's Philly or whether it's Toronto in this next coming round. We might not get what we all expect Golden State-Cleveland in the finals.
Yes. Yeah. And that, I guess that would be prize enough for me, like if we got Philly
mm-hmm.
and Golden State and get to see, right. like, how they try to stop Embiid. Like, that'd be fun. I'd much rather see Philly and Houston, I mean, I think when Steph gets back, they're going to roll. I do agree. I think Houston, I think it's close to 50-50. I would obviously lean a little bit towards Golden State, after that last game. I'm totally prisoner of the moment right now. And they hit the switch, man. They turned it on. And like you said, Houston's not playing their best basketball yet. Now maybe they're trying to lull people. I don't know. I do think the biggest positive with Houston is their defensive chips. Ariza, Tucker, Capella, Bonamute, all really like A+ defenders. Ariza is a little bit older now, but he and Tucker for that matter, but they're still pretty clutch. Capella is he's the best rim protector in the league, bar none. I mean, he pretty much made Karl Anthony Towns useless. And Bonamute, he's got length, man. He's a guy who you could put on Kevin Durant and just be like, we're going to play you 30 minutes tonight. And we don't even want you to take any shots. We just want you to guard Kevin Durant. Like, that's all we're asking you to do. And you know, he could be effective on him in theory. It'll be a fun series to watch. But speaking of watch,
totally.
Let's go enjoy this Philly Boston game because it's looking like it's going to be a lot of fun. And to everybody out there, thanks for joining us, Joel. Thank you,
my friend
and compatriot. That was a fake laugh.
Fake laugh. No, it was.
Even when we're not doing Geek Vibes Live, I still incorporate it. Thank you everybody out there.
In my mind.
Oh yeah, like well that and Lebowski quotes for me. You know, I mean it always comes down to. In fact, when we were doing the show the other night, Juwan was saying. Like, the we in general, and I so badly, I didn't want to interrupt him, so I didn't, but I wanted to be like, yeah, the royal we, you know, the editorial, because it's a quote from the Big Lebowski, I didn't want to interrupt him, but he said it twice, and I really thought about it the second time, because I was like, I'm not gonna drop the Lebowski quote, you say, you still haven't watched it?
I've never seen all of it from like beginning to end.
Oh man, it's a movie. I will say this, it's my favorite movie of all time. It's definitely a movie you have to watch like three times before you can appreciate it.
Wow.
Front to back,
okay.
Three times.
it just is, man.
Like it's because it's a movie about almost nothing. Like there's not a it's the moments that make the movie, not the I guess maybe not. That's not even the right way to describe it. It's the characters and their interactions that make it, not like the story, because stories pretty fucking pointless, honestly. It reminds me, honestly, I was thinking about this the other day. It kind of reminds me of Beavis and Butthead Do America, like they.
Right.
Have you ever seen that one?
Yes, I have. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so like they basically, like, you know, they're I think their TV gets stolen. And they're trying to, like, they just want to watch TV, and then they end up going on this crazy, huge fucking adventure. And then at the end of the movie, they end up, like, going home and walking down the street and finding their fucking stolen TV. And, like, they were just so excited. And so, like, that kind of the same way with The Big Lebowski. Like, the characters don't really evolve at all. Like, they don't really change.
Right.
No
progression.
But the ride is, maybe a little bit. But, like, ultimately, they don't change very much.
Gotcha.
But yeah, highly recommend it. 10 out of 10. Everybody go watch The Big Lebowski. But first, let's go watch some playoffs. Again, thank you all for joining us. We'll see you Thursday at 9 o'clock. We'll be back to our normal time this Thursday. Or maybe we won't. I don't know. We just kind of wing it here at Geek Vibes Nation, because that's our thing. But Joel, thanks again. And peace out,
no
bro.
Problem.
Let's go watch some finals.
Let's do it.
Peace. Adios.